everybody. I am B. Jemine, a.k.a. the Terrible Australian of Super Podcast, and welcome to the latest episode of Super Podcast.
Which is apparently hilarious.
It is. It's so awesome, I had to say it twice. That's how...
And laugh.
Exactly. and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. How are you going, Marcy?
Hello, I'm well. Well, as well as I could be with all my ailments, but not too bad. Not too bad.
Cool.
Thumbs up, sort of. and how are you, Bede?
Oh, not too bad, thanks. You know, just I'm all pumped and ready for this podcast because we have a really awesome topic to talk about.
Yes, and we have an awesome guest. And we are also on the verge, although when this comes out, it might be October, which we just celebrate as a horror month because of Halloween, which is right at the end.
Indeed. And of course, Halloween being our, I guess, our favorite month in terms of the year, because we get to spend the entire month watching tons of horror movies.
It's a good excuse to do it. And my birthday is at the end of the month. Not that I'm excited for this birthday. it's my last birthday before I hit my 30s.
Oh. Well, Marcy, as a lady, you could lie about your age.
Well, people already think I'm like 19, so I think I'm fine.
Everybody thinks I'm 12 years old, but you know, let's not get
into that. I thought you were like 12.
But yes, let's introduce our very special guest for this very special episode tonight. It's been about a few months since he's last been on, but he's back to join us for this very awesome episode because I know that he's an expertise in the topic that we're discussing tonight.
That's right.
And that, of course, is the one, the only, and the most awesomest author himself, Mr. Mike Catalano. Mike, how are you?
I'm awesome after that intro. You always, Bede, you just know how to, you know, bring people in. I love it. I'm great.
Oh, well, thank you. Like, I just know how to make awesome entrances for all of our guests.
It works. Hey, you did it, man. You done did it. I'm so glad to be here. You guys are the best. I'm just psyched to be talking to you guys on a Friday night here in the States.
Cool.
Saturday morning for us. So forgive me if I'm half asleep.
No worries. It's okay. Are you still in bed?
No, I got out of bed.
I thought you would maybe, it'd be cool, like, if you did the podcast from your bed, sort of like, hey, this is Marcy's bedroom podcast, come on in.
Well, I am in my bedroom, but I'm at my desk.
Okay, fair enough. That was a bad impression of your voice, I'm sorry for that.
Yes, should I be offended? No, I'll just laugh.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Yes, well, welcome back. We are happy to have you back, and...
I'm happy to be here.
Let's get right into the podcast. Bede, why are you a terrible Australian for this podcast episode?
Oh, I need to figure something off the top of my head now. alrighty. I'm sort of thinking about it right now. Can you give me 1 second and I'll come right back?
Alright. Well, while Bede thinks about it, I'm going to talk about what I'm doing for October, aside from having a birthday later in the month. I am doing 31 Days of Horror, but unlike what I tried to do last year because I got so burnt out, last year I tried to watch one horror movie a day that I hadn't seen, but this year I've broken the month up into 4 weeks, and each week I'm going to watch a film series. So next week I'll be watching the Poltergeist series. After that, I'm going with the Exorcist series, and I'll be watching both the Exorcist the Beginning and Dominion the prequel to the Exorcist, so that'll be interesting because I haven't seen either of those. Week 3, I decided to go with a series I've never seen any of the movies from, so that'll be Wishmaster. And I'm going to finish the month off watching the Omen series, and I can't remember which ones aside from the first one, which of the sequels I've actually seen, so that'll be an interesting experience. So that is my 31 Days of Horror viewing. And I'm going to try fit in the house series as well.
Cool.
So nice. That'll be fun. All right, let's go back to Bede. Why are you terrible Australian?
Marcy, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation.
That would make anyone fucking terrible to admitting they've seen that movie.
Wow. It is. I'm not going to lie, Marcy. This is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I think if I had to do a top 10 worst movies of all time, this would be very high up on the list.
Yeah.
This movie is... I can't even say the word terrible, bad, or horrible because those words can't justify this movie. So I had to create like an entire new word to describe my feelings on how much I hate this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is terribly, awfully, horribly bad.
It's like worse than the worst diarrhea you've ever done.
I think having diarrhea would be better than watching this movie.
Wow.
That's how much I hate this movie.
On the diarrhea scale.
Yes. It is so bad. I think how they wrote the script was just shitting on a piece of paper and then they just shot it like that.
Hence the diarrhea reference.
Exactly.
Yes. Indeed.
This movie is terrible. Although, I will say this though, this movie was in a way kind of a precursor to Matthew McConaughey's amazing performance in Killer Joe because he basically... Because they're kind of, because how he acts in Killer Joe is kind of, in the last half of that movie is similar to how he acts a lot in this movie. Pretty that is insane.
He is definitely batshit crazy in that. I mean, I'm terrible too because I've seen the beginning, Texas Chainsaw. But yeah. God, if he doesn't just throw as much shit as he can against the wall and doesn't even care what sticks, it is sick and nuts and. I think he deserved an Oscar nomination for that, to be honest. Maybe not enough people saw it that year, but whatever.
Best movie ever. Well, one of them.
Yeah, it is all but, out. That shit, McConaughey. Crazy.
He's probably the only interesting thing about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation.
Well said. You're right, Beat. Well said. I mean, Zellweger's in it, but then...
I think I can sum up this entire movie. There's a scene that is so awful... where a character is escaping from the family and he's running down the road trying to escape and one of the villains pops up in their car, drives up next to him and he's like, get in the car and the guy's like, oh, okay, all right, I'll get in the car. He's like, I'm not going to fight you. I'll just get in the car, whatever.
Yeah, just go with it.
Yeah. Although there is a very funny video, I think, was it Obscura Looper did a... pretty hilarious video review of this movie.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That should be watched. So watch that video and then not watch this movie.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Pretty much. Yeah. All right. So let's get into the slasher genre subject of the podcast. But, part of that is we're going to ask Mike about his new book that's coming out very soon. So, yeah, tell us about it and, let us know where people can pre-order it as well.
I will do that. Thank you.
A bad segue, but yeah.
No, it was an awesome segue because the book is a slasher book. And that is the topic of the podcast, so it's like I'm so psyched to be on here for that.
Yay!
Totally. The slasher subgenre of horror, that's my favorite of all, and when in terms of telling a story. And this latest book that's coming out, and it'll be out in less than 2 weeks, so sort of right at the beginning of October, good for Halloween and everything. It is my sort of a different spin on the typical slasher story, I guess. It's called McCrae's Gonna Get You, and it's taking the elements of the typical slasher film. I mean, I don't know if there are a lot of slasher books out there, but hey, I write books. It's not a screenplay, it's a book, but I was inspired by the slasher movies. So, long story short, it takes all the typical elements that you would see in most slasher films. There's a high school, there's some sort of urban legend of this person, this big scary person, and that urban legend sort of starts becoming more of a reality as people begin kicking the bucket, so to speak, within the high school, and it centers on a group of kids within the high school, and, you know, they sort of, it's sort of a mystery of either who this guy is or what's going on, but that's it. It stops there, because, like I hopefully said, sort of a twist on the slasher story, whereas, there is the main slasher, obviously his name is McCray, and he's a masked slasher, and there is a group of high school students. But instead of it being like the typical, the one jock, the one slut, the one brain, all that crap, like what Cabin in the Woods basically broke down for us, the group of high schoolers that are at the center of the slashing are a bunch of AP students. So it's like, instead of making dumb mistakes or anything, these are smart kids. They don't want to, they're not going to be stupid in any way. They're highly intelligent. Most of them already have they've already been accepted for like Ivy League schools. So you're seeing all the slasher mayhem that's happening through their eyes. Mm-hmm. Also, you also see all the things that are happening through the eyes of the slasher, McCray. The twist is sort of how, he isn't handicapped, but an event happens at the beginning of the movie that sort of changes him in a way and sort of hurts him in a way. I don't want to give anything away, but he's not right in the head, as are most slashers. Mm. So as his legend is slowly, enveloping the town that he used to live in, he is sort of there and he is a part of it, but then again, he doesn't think it's him. Like, he has, blackouts and stuff. He's not right in the head. Like, we see all this happening through his eyes. In a way, sometimes he's almost as scared of what's going on as the high school students in the town. So it's sort of like you get the view from the slasher and from the, slashies, so to speak. And it's back and forth. It's kind of a mystery as to what exactly is going on. And, of course, there's some nice blood and guts. I try to throw some humor in. I hope you didn't hear that. Someone's calling my house right now. They're going to go away. Whatever. Forget that. Or maybe it's not. Hello? Do you like scary movies? No, go away. I hate it. No. Sorry. That was Scream. The book is it's similar to Scream. I guess I really like the movie Scream, so maybe it inspired me a little bit. Because Scream also took the beloved slasher genre and gave a little new spin to it. So that's basically what I'm trying to do with this book. The awesome. End.
And where can people order the book or buy the book?
Hold on one second. thank you, buddy. I'm on the podcast with my friends from Australia. Do you want to... Here, just say hi, Australia, right there.
Hi, Australia!
Hi. That's true. They said hi. I'm sorry. You want to edit that out? That's fine. That's my awesome son, buddy. Go watch TV or something. Yeah. Thanks, bud. Anyway, where
can people get the book or order the book
Thank
from?
Thank you for bringing me back. Yes. It's not like I want to pay for my kids' college or anything by selling the book. Mar, if you get it anywhere, it'll be anywhere online books are sold. The best bets, of course, are Amazon. Or BarnesandNoble.com, or my publisher's homepage. This is being put out by STFU Publishing. Yeah, it is what it means. STFU.
Classy.
Totally. That's awesome. That's what we like. Yes. That's like he sort of branched out with that particular website. It's more in line with serial killers and slashers. So. I was glad he did that because that's what I mostly write, so it worked out nice.
Nice.
And awesome. Again, it's less than 2 weeks, it'll be out.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, hopefully I'll be able to get it and read it when I can kind of read things.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I would be honored. You know what? This is probably, this might be my favorite one I've done so far in terms of, in terms of storytelling and characters and twists and just the whole around experience. I think this might be my favorite.
Awesome.
What if it's not yours? I understand. It's all cool. It's my silly opinion.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's awesome.
You're probably right. Thank you.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be able to read it sometime in the future. I won't say near future because I still have, like, really bad vertigo and motion sickness when I try to read. So,
really? What if I, like, recorded it? Then it's like a book on tape.
You could do audio. Good. Yeah. Audio.
You could get Morgan Freeman to do the narration. And I could do it for free because I can't do a Morgan Freeman impression.
Let's hear it. Go. Let me hear it. Come on.
I wish I could tell you the Monopoly guy fought the good fight and the sisters let it be. I wish I could tell you that. Because prison is no fairy tale world.
Well, that's more like it, Mr. Wang. Awesome.
It'll work against cats.
Funny.
Oh, you wouldn't be interested in that. Sorry. I could go. You did the great impression. I could go on and on.
Well, if you need someone for an audiobook, I'm more than willing to do it for you. But anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, stop trying to get work
to our main topic.
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Slasher movies.
Because it's in the same vein as Mike's new book, we're going to be our very special Halloween episode, oh, one of many, I hope, will be discussing the slasher film genre.
Did you say just slashing the slasher film genre?
I don't know if I'd said that, but I'm not sure.
It's what it sounded like.
Let's slash it down, yo.
Yes.
Let's slash this slasher genre down. Slash.
I'm ready. Yeah. I'm gonna pitch a knife
out. Alrighty. We'll start off. We'll start with Mike. You tell us one of your favorite slasher movies.
Just one?
We'll talk about a lot, but we'll probably just go like one at a time, and then we'll see where it goes.
Fair enough. My all-time favorite. What basically I saw when I was young and put me on this sick writing path of liking it when there's a masked killer offing teenagers. It's Halloween. Halloween is my favorite. I don't mean to be like, you know, blah, boring. Everyone knows Halloween, but it truly is a masterpiece. I love it. I watch it every year. I'm so happy that Halloween is here again because I can just watch it and get like, you know, that goosebumpy feeling, but knowing that it's Halloween time, but it is just the greatest. It is, like, if you want a movie with a guy in a mask who's going after young nubiles, there is no better than Halloween. It's set true. The mold.
That is very true.
It's better than Texas Chainsaw, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's quite different because Texas Chainsaw, like, when I first saw that movie, I was like, oh my god, there's going to be a chainsaw massacre. Get like two people get killed by a chainsaw.
Right, exactly.
But it's such a different film, so yeah.
It is very different. Very well made. It is still a classic, but if I want a guy who has a mask that's going after people, I will watch Halloween. I can watch Halloween 24 hours straight.
Although there is a similarity between those two, so I just realized it just now, is that both those movies, despite having like very hard R ratings and whatnot, don't have an ounce of blood in either.
Mm. Well said, Bede. Which goes to show you, sometimes the best of scares, it's not about the blood. It's about the unknown.
Yeah, the funny thing is that people are so sure that those films are bloodbaths just because of that, you know, less is more approach. It kind of plants that idea into people's minds and they think that it's bloody when it's actually not.
Precisely.
Yeah.
That is amazing. You would think, when I was young, I'd stayed away from Texas. I'm like, oh my god, it must be the grossest movie ever made. It's a chainsaw offing people. I can't watch that. And what I finally do is like, well, wait a minute. I don't really see it. I mean, he changed all of his leg for a second there, but that was really it.
Yeah, it's not. It's, yeah, I don't know. I think they just kind of went with that title. It's better than the original title, which was like Head Cheese.
Was that that was the original title? Oh my God, very good, Marsh.
Yes, I know a lot about that movie. I hated it when I first saw it, but
yeah,
as I rewatched and rewatched it, I really grew to love Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It is brilliant. I will say it. It is brilliant.
Although I kind of prefer the original title of Halloween, The Babysitter Murders.
Oh my God. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's call it that. Dear Lord. But, you know, I mean, it's a fitting title, but, you know, Halloween, come on, go with it.
Of course. The night he came home.
Awesome.
That was really bad.
I tried to do a Donald Pleasance impression, but I think that might fail miserably.
Oh, I won't fail. Come on, he was my patient. I didn't even. For 15 years. I spent 8 years trying to reach him. And the last 7, seeing that he never saw the light of day again because I knew what was behind those eyes. Nothing short of evil.
No.
I've said that to my wife so many times. She could stab me with a kitchen knife.
He's the I have best, chills though. From that. I have chills by it.
I love you. Thank you. Dude. You're too kind.
Marcy, let's go
straight to you. What are your favorite slasher movies?
All right, I have a brand new favorite slasher movie.
Ooh.
I saw this not long ago, and I completely fell in love with this movie. I cannot believe it will not get like a theatrical release. It's going straight to video or whatever you want to call it because we don't have video anymore.
I agree.
But I was so like surprised and just so impressed. And the movie I'm talking about is Curse of Chucky.
Yes!
The latest Child's Play movie.
I knew it.
Yes.
I saw your Facebook posts.
Yes. I saw this movie. I had so like the lowest of expectations. I saw the trailer. I was like, yeah, not too bad. And I was like, why does the doll look so terrible? But there's a reason it looks so terrible, and it's awesome.
Don't give it away. Yes.
I will not give it away.
Marcy, can I tell you something before you continue?
Yes.
I purposely watched Curse of Chucky because I just had a feeling you were going to be discussing it
on
tonight's podcast. So, and like you, I thought it was brilliant. Please continue.
Yes. What this film does, it's not like Seed of Chucky or Bride of Chucky. It's
correct.
More in the spirit of the first one.
Definitely.
It kind of goes back to that, which is what I really liked, because it's not overly silly. It has its moments because it is kind of tongue-in-cheek with what it's doing. It understands that a killer doll is a ridiculously stupid idea. And not at all scary, but Chucky looks fucking terrifying because what child would ever want to own that doll? Like, really? I don't get it.
You're a crazy child.
Yeah. I want a good guy doll! I want to be an axe murderer later in life! you know. Yeah, it's...
That's my boy!
It's so weird, but anyway. It really, like, has a nice slow burn build, and it's got this great like third act and it does go with the less is more approach. It is really similar with the first, because you don't see a lot with Chucky at first. And it's got like the one setting, it's this creepy house.
Awesome, like, house.
Who the fuck wants to live there? Exactly. So, like, it's a really good setting. There's a good mood about it.
Definitely.
And Fiona Dourif, who's the daughter of Brad Dourif. She's the main character. She's fantastic.
It wasn't nepotism at work here.
No, she's actually a fantastic actress.
She was awesome.
This film really belongs to her. She's really, really damn good.
Agreed. Absolutely. Fantastic.
She owns the movie.
This was the best sequel to Child's Play, I think. It's up there with Bride of Chucky.
I would say so, yeah. And she really carries the movie well. She knows how to interact with Chucky and make him feel kind of threatening and almost scary, which is something Absolutely. We don't really get anymore with Child's Play.
Well said.
But it's such a good... It's probably better than it really should have been, and it is a shame that it's not going theatrical, because I think people would get a kick out of seeing this over, you know, the Halloween season.
Seed of Chucky gets a theatrical, Child's Play 3 gets a theatrical, and this, I like...
Yeah.
Didn't the freaking producers or whoever is in charge of the money see this and realize, oh my god, this is amazing.
Mm.
People like Chucky, obviously, because I know Bride of Chucky made money.
Yeah.
Why would they? Why wouldn't they give this a Halloween time release in theaters? It's beyond me. I guess, you know, they lost faith in Chucky, but this is going to restore the faith.
Yeah, I really hope that this makes a bucket of money on, you know, home video release.
It will,
because it's definitely so worth seeing. I don't even have, like, my thoughts collected about it, because I'm just gushing about how awesome it is. Like, I had such a great time. I tried to collect them
today, because I finished it today.
Oh, it's such a great time. It's so much fun.
It is fun. It brings the series full circle. It's not just a sequel for the sake of a sequel. It fits in perfectly.
Yeah.
More so than Seed of Chucky, even, in the series. I mean, I wish this was just the direct sequel to Child's Play.
Yeah, you could watch it. You could watch Child's Play, then watch this. You wouldn't need to watch the sequels, because it works so well.
And you know what? To be fair, it even does, this isn't a spoiler, it even does take into consideration what happens in between the original Child's Play and this film.
Mm. It does. And there's a lot of, like, really interesting things. I mean, it kind of almost works as, like, a reimagining of Chucky and stuff, but it's still a sequel. It's like, it's, and there's a lot of things that, you know, are mentioned, like, you feel like it's fan service, but it's not there just for the sake of being there. Like, it actually has meaning in the film.
Exactly.
And why you're giddy going, oh, they mentioned that. Like, there's a reason for it.
Right.
And yeah, it's well done. And, you know, Brad Dourif does a great job with what he does in the film, and, you know, He is that character. Like, that's the voice I want to hear.
How incredible is he with that voice? And is it a spoiler to say that Brad Dourif is sort of in the movie as well, maybe?
I will leave it at that. But
okay, I'll leave it at that.
It's kind of awesome, though. Yeah.
Dear God, I thought he was good in the Halloween remakes, but wow.
He's like he's like one of the only likable people in those movies, by the way.
You're right. And he is fantastic, by the way, in those movies. I love him, especially in the sequel.
Yeah, he's probably the best part about the sequel with Danny O'Hara.
I agree 100%, Marcy. You genius.
I know.
Well said.
Yeah. I could probably just spend the podcast talking about Curse of Chucky, because it's so awesome. I, like, can't wait to watch it again. I do want to, like, maybe revisit the whole series at some point.
Good call.
But, yeah, it's so good. Everyone,
it
just
really is.
Fucking go see it. Enjoy it. You know, I haven't really seen any bad reviews. That's how awesome it is.
You know what? I believe it won an award somewhere. I can't remember what film festival, but it did win an award there. It might have been a horror film festival, but I can't remember exactly. But it did get Best Picture in some kind of category, and it makes sense.
I found it. At the film's world premiere at the Montreal Fantasia Film Festival, it received Gold Award for Best International Feature. Thank you, Wikipedia. Thank you.
Yep, Fantasia reported on Arrow in the Head.
There you go.
That's where I read it, because I love Arrow in the Head.
Yes, we both have ties to that website.
Of course, hello. The Arrow rules. Well, yeah, once I saw that, I'm like, you know what? This is a special movie. I'm definitely going to have to check it out, because, I mean, come on. Won a freaking, the sixth sequel to Child's Play won some kind of award at the Fantasia Film Festival. Yeah. There's a lot of well-made films at this thing.
Yeah, best international feature. Come on, man. That's awesome.
That's saying something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there you go. We're not crazy. I know we're not crazy, Mars.
I am crazy, but not about... I mean...
You know, yeah, me too.
Anyway.
Not when it comes to this, though.
Yes. Bede, you have to watch it.
I will watch it. I'm excited to watch it.
Yes!
Woohoo! Alright, now that we'll stop talking, we'll let you talk, Pete, about one of your favorite slasher movies.
Alrighty. Alrighty, I want to talk about a slasher movie that I actually saw for the first time last year on my Halloween viewing list. And it recently actually got a really... Well, I haven't bought it yet, but I intend to buy it because it recently got a really cool special edition Blu-ray from, I think, the Criterion of Horror... of the horror genre, Scream Factory, and it's a little slasher movie called The Burning.
Yes, Bede! Classic.
Now, what I think is really cool about The Burning, this movie came out at the height of, you know, when slashers were the thing, especially between 80 and 81, because that was when they were just, like, pretty much every week had a... Every week at the cinema, there was a slasher movie.
Like, let's think of something and we'll make that a slasher movie.
Because if you see the documentary going to pieces, The Rise and Fall of the Slasher Movie, that's not exaggeration. There was a slasher movie every week at the
graduation
cinema.
Graduation Day! Valentine's Day!
But I think what makes The Burning stand out in that a classic in the slasher genre is just, I think it was probably the most violent of all the slasher movies at that time, particularly a scene called the raft scene, which is probably the film's most famous and infamous scene.
And basically Tom Savini was a part of like every slasher movie.
Was pimp in the early 80s.
Indeed. And it's just a pretty cool, awesome slasher movie. Like it's, and it was one of the few ones where instead of having a final girl, it had a final guy, which was kind of acting
like a girl through the whole movie, but whatever.
And also it was like, and what's interesting is that I think this was the breakout film for the Weinstein brothers, because I think they produced and wrote the script of this film And also, it has a lot of well-known actors who appeared in small roles in the film, like Jason Alexander, Holly Hunter, Fisher Stevens, and just many others. And also, it has a really cool, creepy villain at the center of it by the name of Cropsey, I think it was.
Cropsey it is.
And he has a sort of a tragic backstory where, like, some idiot... teens at a summer camp, because, you know, all slasher movies have to be set at a summer camp.
Hell yeah.
and something happens, and then he gets pretty much burned alive and is taken to the hospital.
The Burning.
Yes, of course. And he goes, and after when he escapes from hospital and decides to go back to the camp to take revenge on the teens.
Because teens are little shitheads who need to have revenge taken out on them.
Precisely. The older I get, the more I agree with all of this.
Isn't that so true?
Yep. I'm going to become Cropsey pretty soon.
And also, his weapon of choice for this movie was a great, huge pair of gardening scissors.
Oh, snip, snip, baby.
And there's also there's a shot from this movie that actually made my, 50 greatest shots in horror films list last year, which, also happened, they use that exact same shot for all the posters of the movie, because it's sort of a memorable, with the big gardening shears just rise above his head about the table.
Yeah, I was going to say, all those slasher movies had to have, like, a different weapon of choice.
Yeah.
True, very true.
Yep.
And, I think because, like, the violence in this movie was so hardcore, I think it had trouble with the ratings board. Multiple times over the course of the year, and even in some places it was banned as well. But, there's uncut versions of it out now, and definitely check out the uncut version just to see how friggin' violent this movie is. It's a lot of fun.
Versions are easier to get now.
Yeah.
I dare say it is better than the majority of the Friday the 13th sequels.
I can agree with that.
In terms of, you know, violence, fun, suspense.
I'd say this one's definitely one of the more suspenseful ones, because it actually takes itself very seriously and not sort of jokey or anything like that. And, it's just a really good slasher movie, and if people out there haven't seen it, definitely check it out.
Oh, it's so much fun. That's on my list, Pete. Good call.
Awesome. Mike, what is another one of your favorite slasher movies?
Oh, my God. Well, I can't say The Burning now. Well, it's always got to be old school for now, I suppose. I'm going to go with another one. I know The Arrow from Arrow of the Head is a big fan of this. It's called The Prowler.
Ah.
It does, and again, that it comes out within the span of, like, the, 1980 to 1982, time frame of slashers. But you know what? A lot came out then, but shockingly, a lot of them are really good movies, actually. Like, well-made. Like, it's not like, hey, let's just copy this and throw it out there to get some money. You know, people actually, the makers actually cared about making some kind of, good movie out of it, even though it was, basically emulating Jason and Michael Myers. But The Prowler is a very fun early 80s slasher.
And it was directed by the same guy who had gone to direct a Friday the 13th sequel. I think it was the final chapter. No, Joseph Zito. He directed...
Very good. Yes, it was Zito. And again, effects by Savini the Master.
Yeah, because you can't have the slasher movie without Tom Savini doing the special.
You really cannot. You know what? He should still be doing it for whatever slasher movies that come out today. He's the best.
He is.
No CGI awesome. Bullshit.
Cool.
That's right, because he's awesome.
That's one I haven't seen yet, but it's one I've been wanting to for a long time.
If you're a Prowler fan, excuse me, if you're a Burning fan, you'll fit right in. You'll have a blast.
Cool. Yeah, also I'm looking on the guy's, the director's Wikipedia page. After Friday the 13th, the final chapter, he also made the Chuck Norris movies Missing in Action and Invasion USA.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Damn, Zito, man. Good shit. Good 80s shit, Zito.
And also the Dolph Lundgren film Red Scorpion.
I remember Red Scorpion. Wow.
That's kind of awesome.
That is pretty awesome, man.
And I like the original title of the movie, Rosemary's Killer.
Are you serious? Oh, yes. For Prowler?
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I think that was the title in Australia, I think. But I think they've changed it back to The Prowler now, because I think it's getting a Blu-ray release sometime next month, I think, under its original title.
Very cool. You got to check it out. You'll enjoy it.
Cool.
You got The Prowler, and you got Curse of Chucky. Your October is going to be set.
I might have to save it for next October because I've already got my list sorted out.
Sorry. Yeah,
which I'll talk about a bit later because I didn't get a chance to. But, Marcy, what's another slasher movie that you like? Almost as good as Chucky, as Curse of Chucky.
I don't think anything's as good as that movie. That movie's just the best.
Well said.
Let me think. Something I actually want to talk about. Oh, I got a good one.
Go.
April Fool's Day, the original.
Well said again.
I haven't seen it for a while. But when I did see it, I think I saw it on like our cable, which is called Foxtel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was awesome. It's got this great setup where you've got like college friends. I think it's spring break. They're at like this sort of, I don't know,
lake house?
Yeah, it's like a lake house with Muffy. What a weird name.
Muffy, yes!
and you sort of like, everything kind of feels like kind of weird because there's like weird things going on. And one by one, the friends kind of disappear. Something happens to them.
Yep.
And then there's like this really like weird twist where she's got like a twin sister called Buffy, and no, it's not that Buffy. But then there's like another awesome twist, and when I saw that awesome twist, I was like, holy fucking shit, I didn't see that coming. Best fucking ending ever.
That does have a cool twist.
It really took me by surprise. I was like, this is awesome. But this is like a really, really fun film.
I would just say that. Yes, it is so
much
fun.
It really doesn't take itself seriously. Like you sort of look at some of the things that happen and you're like, okay. And you sort of like giggle about it, but then when you see the truth, you're like, oh, I get it. But yeah, it's just such a fun movie. There's no other way to describe it. It's fun.
It is very fun.
It would be like, probably one of my favorite like genre movies because nice. I just had a blast with it. I really enjoy it.
And don't forget, it has Biff in it.
It does.
Hey, McFly.
And it's got that dude that was in Leprechaun. The guy that looks like Kevin Bacon / Jim Carrey.
Leprechaun? Now I gotta look this up. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure it's that same dude.
You would know.
Yes, it is. It is that same dude.
What's his name?
Did you look Ken it up? Oland. Not that I can pronounce his name properly.
Leprechaun.
But he was in Leprechaun. He was three guys that paint. But he wasn't like the guy that looked like what's his name?
It wasn't Francis from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Obviously. No. I know he was in Leprechaun.
And he wasn't the kids.
Hold on.
He's like the poor guy's Kevin Bacon.
I don't even know if the name would even matter. He's like a nobody.
Yeah, pretty much, but yeah.
No matters.
Well, what did I see recently that had Biff in it?
It's The Heat, wasn't it?
The Heat!
Yes, that's right!
He's great in that, by the way. I was like, well, as soon as I saw my wife, I was like, Biff!
I didn't even recognize him.
I was kind of thinking, that looks like Biff!
He still looks like Biff. He's hilarious.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, butthead!
You know what's interesting about April Fool's Day is that the director of this one previously made the original
When a Stranger Calls. Yeah.
Which is actually a really good movie. Yeah.
Wow. Good job, Pete.
I'm having fun looking up like directors previously.
Awesome.
I'm gonna send you a picture of the guy that was from this movie that was in Leprechaun and he looks like Kevin Bacon. Poor man's Kevin Bacon. I'll see if I can send it on the chat room. Or if Mike doesn't get it, I'll send it to his Facebook.
Yeah, I definitely send it to me because I'm terrible at this.
That's all right.
Oh, yeah, it does too. Wow, that is almost a dead ringer for Kevin Bacon.
Is he real? I'm looking up. I just got your send. Hold on.
He even has the same hair.
Oh my God, Mars. Very good. Holy shit. Baconator.
It's weird because I know like these weird facts about people. Wow.
Was that the stripper from Summer School? You know what? Don't answer that, because if I'm right, I'm like the
super yes.
He looks like the guy who was the stripper nerd in... Not nerd, but in Summer School. The one he was. He fell asleep in class.
He was
a stripper at night.
Cool.
And he was in an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, which is probably where I recognized him from.
Nice.
There you go. but yes, April Fool's Day... Fucking awesome, and forget about the remake because it's not even a remake.
It has nothing to do with it.
It's so stupid. Fuck off any remake bullshit. Fuck off.
Anyway.
Beadface.
My turn. I want to talk about another infamous slasher movie that came around, that came out around pretty much that 81 to 82 period, as Mike said. I'm just trying to find the page for it. Oh, here it is. And that, of course, is probably one of the most infamous slasher movies of all time, Sleepaway Camp.
There you go.
Kind of love that movie. It's just so different with, like, where it goes and stuff.
Yep. That is the ultimate standing.
Yeah, I think it was a movie that wanted to do something different. Like, it was still a slasher movie, but... There's so much, like, interesting and kind of very strange elements to it that just make it so unique and fresh as a slasher movie. Mm. And it goes to places you wouldn't expect a movie of this type to go to.
Well said.
Yeah, it's got this really, like, bizarre kind of flashbacky stuff.
Yeah.
And you're sort of like, what the fuck's this got to do with anything?
And then, of course, you find out at the very end, which is probably one of the most shocking endings ever.
It because really
how did anyone expect that ending?
And you know what? Another very popular Oscar-nominated movie that came out in, like, I think 1994, you know, I'm sure it didn't rip it off from that, but hey, it predates it by, you know, 12 years.
That's very true, but we won't mention what that movie is, so we don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, we don't play that. That's not how we are. We're just saying.
Yeah, and that's true. That's very true, and I just like it. It's just a good movie. Like, it's like I said, it's interesting, and it's fresh, and it's pretty original as well. And what's interesting about this one is that usually in slasher movies, when they have, like, teen characters, they're usually played by, like, 20, 30-year-olds.
Very good.
This one, all the kids in this movie are actually played by actual kids. Like, these are, like...
Yeah, they are, like, the right sort of age.
Yeah, and I think that might have been one of the controversial aspects of the movie at the time, because they actually used real teens rather than just, you know, older people playing them.
Exactly.
But,
It's just a well-made, and in terms of me speaking, I'm not talking cocky, but speaking as a writer or someone who likes to write about slasher, that is a well-written, well-thought-out, you know, movie in terms of horror.
Yep.
Mm.
And also, like, it also had an alternate title, as it says here on Wikipedia. The alternate title was Nightmare Vacation.
Nightmare Vacation? Oh, my God.
That's so shit.
Actually, that's... I might steal that title and make my own slasher movie around that.
You should. I would see it be whatever you put out, I'll see.
That would be hysterical.
And also, it has a great performance at the center of it by Felissa Rose.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Absolutely. She's
great.
It's just too bad, because her character comes back later on in other sequels, but she didn't reprise the role. But she's great in this movie.
Outstanding.
She is really, really good.
And also the sister of Bruce Springsteen was in this movie.
Oh my God.
That's what it says. Oh, wait a minute. That's in the first one.
Wow.
No, actually, the sequel. Sorry. That was the sequels, because Bruce Springsteen's sister, Pamela, played Angela.
Played Angela. Right?
Yes,
yeah.
And you know, hey, she's good. Part two is very good.
Yeah, it's not too bad, actually.
I'm having a lot of fun looking at these slasher movies. I could talk about this genre for hours.
You're having, like, a bit too much fun on Wikipedia.
This will be a 3-hour podcast.
Oh, that's true, but we'll move right along from Sleepaway Camp, even though it's a pretty awesome movie. Mike, what's another slasher movie that you absolutely love?
Oh, good. I'm so glad I get to do another, because I thought of it on the last time, but I didn't get to say it. And this one even predates Halloween, and I think Texas Chainsaw, but no matter, Black Christmas.
Ooh.
Not the remake, which holds a odd special place in my heart. But
oh, I hated it, but anyway, that's
I know, everyone hates it. I'm the only one that likes it.
You really?
We can't talk about the remake now because the original is just too damn good, and truly is the original slasher movie, even though there's no mask.
Yep.
It's fantastic. I was blown away when I first watched it, which was thanks to your one on the previous podcast. I was like, you have to watch it.
Yay! Yes! Exactly. I'm so glad you watched it, and I'm so glad you liked it.
Oh, absolutely.
It is awesome. In terms of, no blood in a movie, this one, I don't think it has any. Or maybe just a tiny bit, but it is creepy as hell. This predates When a Stranger Calls, if you're talking about creepy phone calls to a house. It's so out there, it's so crazy. It really does, like the trailer suggests, make your skin crawl.
It does. It's disturbing. There's disturbing aspects about it.
Absolutely. And it's just that the performances are fantastic. Yeah, Margot Kidder and Olivia whatever it is. They're both fantastic. I mean, Margot Kidder's like the comic relief in it. And she's just, this is before Superman. She's awesome. And as the main, like, I guess, scream queen, Miss Olivia, is just fantastic. And there's a great story to it. Again, Bob Clark directed it, which it's so... And I don't know if he wrote it, but he directed it. And it's so funny because he did A Christmas Story, which is, like, now, you know, lauded as the ultimate Christmas comedy. He also made the ultimate Christmas horror.
It's funny. He's made, like, one of the scariest Christmas movies ever, and as well as the most loved Christmas movies ever.
It's just... I mean, it boggles my mind, but I love it. And
I would be terrified if he combined both those movies together as one movie.
Oh, Bede. Someday that's got to happen.
Ralph gets stalked by the killer from Black Christmas.
A Black Christmas Story, rated R. There you go.
Beautiful. Well, there you go. There's a title right there.
Beautiful.
But yeah, I agree. Black Christmas. Scary. But I do agree. Sorry. Black Christmas is a pretty awesome slasher movie. It's very atmospheric and very creepy.
Oh, God, yes. Every Christmas is required viewing for me.
And I like the sort of, like, in a way, it's kind of like takes the Jaws approach, because you never really see Billy in the movie.
Well said, which makes it even creepier. You're absolutely right.
And, yeah, it's just an awesome, awesome, awesome film. And you can watch it both Halloween or Christmas.
Well said, B.
Or both, like that same year, if you really wanted to, because it's awesome.
I love horror that takes place on holidays for some reason. You got Halloween, Black Christmas, My Bloody Valentine. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. That's my next one, but whatever.
Well, you can bring that up next.
If there's a holiday for some reason, it just makes the proceedings usually even greater.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Marcy, what's another one that you like?
Oh, are we going to me? Yeah. Oh. Sorry, I'm like in the middle of like redesigning things in my room while I'm recording. I'm like doing that. let me think. I had some in mind, but I got to sort of like think about what ones I actually want to talk about. Oh, I know. Candyman. Yes.
Oh.
Oh, Tony Todd.
Yes.
And Marcy and I met Tony Todd.
And he did the Candyman voice.
And he freaked
out. Did he really?
He did. Wow. I said to him, can you do the Candyman voice? He was like, I'm Candyman. I can't remember what he said.
That is awesome. So he is a good guy, obviously.
Oh yeah. He when we first met him, he was like singing this like weird chanting thing, and Bede was like completely freaked out. I'm like trying not to laugh.
That's so cool.
Although he gave me the best autograph of all time. He wrote, "To Bede, my victim, Tony Todd."
Dude, that is awesome. No one else has that, by the way. No one else has that autograph right there.
I know. That's what I feel very honored that he used my name in his quote.
That is awesome.
Yeah, he's really fun. He's such a good dude. He's got that amazing voice. He gave me a free autograph, which was awesome.
He seems like a very cool guy. I'm glad
he's lovely.
You guys confirm it.
He's fantastic. He's really amazing. But anyway, Candyman. This is one of the rare movies that when I first saw it and I was a lot younger, it truly freaked me the fuck out. It really did. And it took me a while before I actually had the guts to watch it again. And then, like, watching it as an adult, it's really apparent that this is just more than, you know, there's so much to the movie as a whole. And it's really interesting and well done. It has, it's paced perfectly because you get the reveals at just the right time. Mm-hmm. It's so chilling and just, I love it.
That's a very good movie.
And the weird thing is the chemistry between Virginia Madsen and Tony Todd.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It is. It's so good.
It's a classic.
It's amazing. Like, it really sort of takes an interesting spin on like urban legends and stuff like that. The sequels aren't as good. But yeah, I think this one remains, I think, one of the quintessential horror movies of the 90s. And I think it's one that sometimes people can tend to forget about a little bit. It's almost under the radar at times. Just in general, right. Like with hardcore fans, not really, but yeah. And it's got, I think the backstory, like Candyman's story, is really interesting and very disturbing. And yeah,
yep.
But this is like the total package. You get a fantastic film, it's creepy, and I want to watch it again and be sort of freaked out a little bit by Tony Todd.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it because I kind of already did like a Candyman podcast a while ago. But yeah, my advice, just see the fucking movie. It's fucking awesome. Fucking, yeah.
Indeed. It's a classic.
Well said, Mars.
And Bede, Bede's victim.
I Bede my victim. This is the best autograph of all time.
That is awesome, Bede. I'm jealous.
And I guess it's my turn now. And I'll talk about a recent slasher movie that came out, I think, about 7 years ago. And what I've... And it's a little movie, I think it's sort of forgotten now, but it's still a very underrated gem, and it's pretty awesome. And that, of course, is Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
See, I was awesome. Thinking about mentioning that, too, funnily
still
enough.
Waiting for a sequel.
Which is an awesome movie, because this is sort of a more of a satire on slasher movies, because it's sort of like for the first... Pretty much the first two halves, it's sort of it's about this documentary crew that follows this guy by the name of Leslie Vernon, who wants to become a slasher killer, and he sort of and they sort of follow him as he sort of prepares to go around and stalk virginal teens, which is kind of the basic. But what's interesting to me about this film is that it's kind of set in the same. Well, according to this film, it's set in the same world as the Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween movies, because Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger do sort of get referenced to, and Leslie Vernon said, "Oh, I was inspired by these guys to want to become a slasher killer."
He like caught, he's like, "Yeah, Fred and Mike when they did those things." It's like on a nickname basis.
And coincidentally enough, Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees themselves do appear in the movie. Well, the actors who played them are Robin Englund and Kane Hodder.
Excellent.
And it's just an awesome movie. It's really smart. It's really original. And it also goes into a third act, which I actually kind of surprised me when I first watched it. Yep. And it all sort of like, you sort of watch it and you realize, oh.
It's so good. Yeah. I love this movie.
And it's just an old, I like you, Mike. I do agree. I think they're still trying to develop the sequel as we speak. Yep. So who knows when
it's
going to happen?
I'm a fan of the page to make it. Yep, on Facebook. Yep.
And
how could you not? How would someone not want to make a sequel to that? Everyone has seen it now. The first one is so brilliant. Clearly, they have great stuff planned out to do another one.
Mm.
Why not just? I just don't. Yeah, maybe it's because I'm not in the system in Hollywood. But dear God, just make it.
Well, they should probably, like, kickstart it or something.
Anything.
Because, you know, in today's things, like, people kickstarting or Indiegogoing, you know, films and all that.
I mean, if Uwe Boll's going to get funded through Kickstarter, I'm sure that could.
Exactly. Not stupid Zach Braff's bullshit Garden State sequel. Fuck you, Zach Braff.
You know what? Fuck you, man. You're a bitch.
That's for you, Mars. I said it last time. I'll say it again.
Thank you. What a fucking asshole.
I don't want to see a sequel to that movie, you prick.
I don't want to see his face again, prick.
Yes. Anyways, back to the movie.
Sorry, Steve.
Which is pretty awesome and definitely an underrated gem that more people need to check out.
I'm so glad you mentioned that one, B. That is definitely a great call.
And also, like, the actor who plays Leslie Vernon, Nathan Basil, he's fantastic. Like, he...
Without question.
I don't know. I haven't seen him in anything else since then, but...
No, me either. It's odd.
But he's awesome in this movie.
It's like he was just born to play Leslie Vernon. That's how it worked out.
Oh,
incredible.
Yeah. I'm just sort of looking up his Wikipedia page now. What has he been on?
He's been on. What has he been on?
He's been a post-production coordinator on Storage Wars.
Dude, that's awesome.
Oh, fuck. Come on, man. This guy's brilliant.
Yeah, what else has he been on? Episode of CSI. He's been mostly in TV stuff, either as an actor or as, like, behind-the-scenes stuff.
Wow.
What's this? Are you? He was a post-coordinator on a show called Are You Tougher Than a Boy Scout?
What the fuck?
That is the best fucking show ever.
Oh, my God.
That is the best show ever. I've never seen it, but it's the best.
I like the episode titles. One of them's called Man vs. Scout. One's called Ninja Scouts.
Oh my God!
Wow!
I need to see the show now.
I need the show in my life.
He's on it. Maybe it is good.
What's this? A contest that sees adult civilians from all walks of life go head to head with Boy Scouts as they compete in challenges based on the Scouts 100-year handbook as they bid for merit badges.
Dude, I want this show in my life.
There's only been 6 episodes. I don't know if it's been canceled or not, but I want to watch
God,
these episodes.
Oh my God, I just want to see it. I don't care.
I can't believe it.
Give me this show now.
All right. Wow. After that, my mind's blown. But yeah. Mike, what are some other slasher movies that you absolutely love? You're like, you don't have to name one, you can just name off a couple if you like, because I know got like a billion zillion on your list. Ridiculous.
Well, like I said the last time, the original My Bloody Valentine, I recommend the director's cut, of course, but yes, it is a ton of fun, it is awesome, it is an ideal slasher movie, you can't go wrong with, and I love the remake too. But, I mean, a back-to-back billing with those two, especially in February, you can't go wrong. It is awesome.
Cool. I actually don't really like the original My Bloody Valentine, but I actually prefer, this is one of the cases where I think the remake is actually better than the original.
I'm with you. Okay, I hear that. Did you see the director's cut with the
Bloody Valentine? I think I did. I should check out the uncut version, but I think the version I saw was the cut version.
Okay. It is like a vast difference in terms of gore.
Yeah. I kind of like the other one, the remake, because it's a lot more fun.
The remake is fantastic.
And it doesn't really take itself too seriously.
Very true. And it's got Tom Atkins in it.
Of course. and has an ending that completely rips off another well-known horror movie.
Very good.
A French horror movie, which I won't name the name of because I'll give it away. But, what are some other ones that you like, Mike?
Oh, let me see here. The original Scream is pretty classic, just for what it does and, you know, mixing things up with the genre. Even though people say it's not a slasher movie, there is a slasher element to it. Night of the Creeps is one of my all-time favorite horror films. It's got everything. It's got sci-fi, it's got zombie, and it does have a touch of a slasher influence into it. Yeah, I know you guys have seen it, but if anyone who's listening and likes horror hasn't seen Night of the Creeps, do yourself a favor, because it is outstanding. Terror Train is great. Jamie Lee, you know, She did pretty good back in the day with her Scream Queen status. I got to think of newer ones. What newer slashers have I seen that are worth checking out? Does High Tension count?
I think so, yeah. I would say Home Invasion slasher movie.
Yes, good call. I would recommend that one just because it's relentless. It doesn't let up. It is intense. I mean, the title... It makes good on the title. It's a great flick, and you know, I think it. I even like the ending. I mean, the ending's a little. Some people are like 50-50 on the ending, but I think it's awesome, and just an intense freaking movie by Alex Aja, who I think is a horror film genius. God, what else? I'm thinking now. You got me thinking.
Well, we can come back to you, Mike, if you want to. If there's,
please do come back to me. I'm gonna regain my thoughts. I want to see what else you guys got.
Marcy, what's some other slasher movies that you like or enjoy, anyway?
What else do I enjoy and like? Let's go think about it.
I can send you the Wikipedia page.
I've got it up. I'm just having a quick look, sort of trying to...
I've got one. Can I come back?
Definitely, because I'm still thinking.
The House on Sorority Row. Not the shitty remake. The original 1983 House on Sorority Row. In terms of, like, horror movies with a slasher, with a sorority house, you cannot go wrong with this flick. It's got it all. And a great little twist on the ending. This is like... This is another one, like a Sleepaway Camp, where I consider a well-written horror flick.
Yeah, that's one I haven't still seen yet, The House on Sorority Row, but I've been meaning to check it out, though.
See, you have a great list now.
I know, I've sort of... There's so many slasher movies I've been wanting to see, but I still haven't seen it, even though it's like one of my favorite nice. Genres of horror, and the one that introduced me to the horror genre.
Oh my god, Beat, I gotta send you a copy of the book whenever it comes out, even if I could just, like, buy it for, like, a Kindle and send it to you, whatever.
Oh, I can, it might pop up on Amazon at some point, and I'll buy it. Because I want to buy your other books as well.
We have a similar mentality, so I think you might be down with it. I'm not trying to sell books, because please, not many people buy my books, it's not about that.
Aww.
I mean, I think
everybody should buy your books.
You're awesome like that. Thank you. I'm pretty sure you'll enjoy them because we have the same horror heart, I think.
Oh, yeah. I definitely look forward to Radio.
Very cool.
Marcy, back to Marcy, as if she's thought of a film.
I'm totally distracted. All right. Now, we know that I love Nightmare on Elm Street series. But, you know, aside from the original, my favorite sequel is Part 2, because I have so much love for that movie, but not talking about what everyone talks about. I actually think, genuinely, they really went for some interesting things with it. Like, the kills are really good and well done. Freddy kind of does look creepy in it. And I think it's a really interesting experiment with how they've done it. Like, the main character, which is, you know, made for a female, they have a male doing it, and it does change the dynamic of that film, and the relationship that you have with Freddy and Jesse is really different and really interesting. So I know a lot of people sort of rag on the movie, but I think it's excellent. I really genuinely do.
Yeah, I really like that movie as well. It is a guilty pleasure, but it is, that, like you say, it does have a lot of interesting elements to it, even if they are very very blown out, if that's the correct word. As the writer said in the Never Sleep Again documentary, he wanted to go for undertones, but they sort of blew it out of proportion. Wow.
Yeah, they kind of didn't realize it, and that kind of thing, yeah. It's an interesting experiment. And I think it's the kind of movie that really needed to have been made to sort of understand, like, why the final girl or having the female kind of seems to work. Whereas, you know, you really need to have it written differently if you want to have that male...
Mm-hmm.
In there, so
definitely,
yeah, that does rank as a definite favorite, as well as a number of the sequels, not including 6 because that's a piece of crap.
I can agree with you on that.
Freddy versus Jason.
Oh yeah,
I love that movie.
Really fucking awesome.
It is so fun.
It really is like a fanboy, fangirl, like, dream come true for horror. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I had an orgasm in the cinema while watching this movie. That's how much I was...
Yeah, it was a birthday movie for me, so it was, like, awesome and exciting, and, you know, it was like, I just can't wait to see it, I have to see these two at it, and it really didn't let down. It's such a fun movie.
They did a good job with that one.
It really is just one of those just awesome gems. Yeah, we need the Ash versus them as well.
Yeah. make a movie version of the graphic novels, and then our heads would explode.
They probably would. I know my head would explode.
Mine would.
Both my heads would. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
That is terrible, terrible.
Sorry. Terrible Australian. That's on me. That's our bead.
Oh, yeah. If blame it on bead.
Blame it on the bead.
Oh, I was thinking of one. Shit.
No worries.
I'm like thinking about it now. I can't remember what it was.
Well, I can probably name it and come back.
Yay.
Come back to you, Marcy, if you that.
Oh, I'll think of it in a minute.
Okay,
Pieces, duh.
Oh, yeah, Pieces.
If you haven't seen Pieces, that is a fun, like, movie.
Bastard!
This was one I, like, had to see after I saw Going to Pieces, the documentary.
Yes!
It's not the greatest, it's just hilarious and fun.
Yes, it is. Any horror fan has to see that.
It is. Yeah. It's one of those things, like, you think it'll be, like, something, and it's, like, not at all. And then you're sitting there going, this is awesome for all the wrong reasons.
Wow.
That's the magic of that movie.
Magic is a good description.
It is. It really is. So, yeah, Pieces.
It wears its Italian influence on its sleeve.
It does. It's just one of those really interesting experiments that's like, yeah, this needs to be seen.
Yes. Crack open a six-pack or whatever and just have a blast for an hour and a half.
Exactly. I mean, I think I watched it last year or the year before. And I was like, yeah, this was totally worth my time.
It's so funny.
It is. It's one of those movies. It's like, you can't describe it. Just watch the fucking thing. That's like what it is.
Well said. That's the perfect tagline. You can't describe it. Just watch the fucking thing.
Because Marcy's descriptions are awesome.
I feel like going back to rewatch it right now.
Me too, actually. I want to see the kung fu part.
I forgot about the kung fu part.
Oh,
everybody was kung fu fighting.
See, that's why they need to, that's probably not a good idea to put more kung fu fighting in slasher movies. We saw what happened with that with Halloween Resurrection.
Oh, God
is right.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
Did they really make that movie?
Unfortunately. Yes, they did.
Yeah. Nice send-off, Jamie Lee, yeah.
I saw that movie in the cinema, scarily.
Wow. Sorry. If they ended that movie maybe after 10 minutes, it could be okay. But then they just got busted in there and all that shit. Dangertainment, yo! Shut the fuck up.
Don't make me vomit, yo.
I'm sorry, yo. Seriously.
Yeah, they should have just ended it with H2O because that was like the perfect ending to the series.
I love that movie and that was a great ending. Then they had to shit down his decapitated neck, I guess.
I know, it was like the greatest way to end it as well.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Outstanding, and then it's like, oh, let's get some money. It was the Weinsteins, those fuckers.
Mm. It was like, and they killed Jamie Lee off after like 10 minutes.
Right.
To be fair, we never actually saw her die, so if they had made another one, they could easily have brought her back.
Yes, but, you know, Halloween Resurrection just sucked all the way. You think Michael Myers is, you know, unkillable. Resurrection, ironically.
He gets killed by Kung Fu.
Yes. A Kung Fu Buster Rhymes. That makes sense. Genius, yes. Black people will go see this and pay a lot of money, so let's just do this. You racist assholes.
Because people want to see Kung Fu in slasher movies.
And there we go. We've talked about a shitty slasher movie.
Oh, I should have talked about that at the beginning of the show. But I'll name off a few slasher movies because one of my favorite slasher movies is not a good movie at all. It is a bad, 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 bad movie. I can't help but enjoy it because
it's terrible,
and it happens to also be an Australian movie.
Oh boy.
And that's Cut.
I was going to talk about it because it's such...
I know that movie.
A crappy, like, but really kind of watchable movie.
Yeah, it wears its heart... wears its heart on its sleeve. That's why I can't hate it, because it's just so sincere.
Yeah, that's actually really true about it.
But, I think because I was obsessed, because I was in high school when I learned about this movie, and I was like, oh, I need to see this movie. And I was like, oh, Australian slasher movie, I must see it. And then I even bought the video when it came out on VHS. That's what I'm obsessed
with. Wow.
And I watched it all the time. Like, it is a crappy movie, and the plot really does not make any sense at all. But
I think my sister, when she worked in travel, I think she had some travel work to do with it.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of knew about the film because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting in itself.
But I guess if people don't know out there in podcasting land who don't know what Cut is about, it's about like this film Aussie film student who decided to finish this slasher movie that was never finished back in the 80s because the actor who played the serial killer in that movie murdered the director, who was, funnily enough, was played by Kylie Minogue.
Kylie Minogue? I'm looking at it right now. Holy shit. Kylie!
Kylie Minogue was basically the Drew Barrymore of the film. Like, she was just, you know, the big star who was killed off after the first 10 minutes.
Oh, my God, Kylie.
Yeah, so they decided to finish the movie since it was never finished. And I love the title of the slasher movie within the movie. It's called Hot-Blooded. Even though that's probably the most unslasher movie title I've ever heard. But and so they go to finish this movie, and then one by one, they each get it killed off by a serial killer who's actually pretty cool. And I'm trying to remember what the killer's name was in the movie because he has a really cool look. No, I don't think it is, but he had a really cool look. Yeah, Scarman, that's right. And he was like, had this really cool mask, and he had the Michael Myers overalls. And also, I think he was influenced by other serial killers because he also had a huge, like these kind of gardening shears, like not as... Not at, like the ones in The Burning, but they were like these really creepy looking ones. And
all right.
And but it is a shitty movie, but it's like a guilty pleasure fun movie. Mm. Like if you take it in the right frame of mind, and it kind of explains because the director of this many years later would also direct another guilty pleasure horror Aussie horror movie, Bait.
I love Bait.
That's a shark movie.
Yeah, he also directed that.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that movie's it's so kind of crap, like, but I love it because it's crap.
Yeah, that's why it's like when I knew Bait, he was directing Bait, I thought, oh yeah, this movie's going to be such a guilty pleasure time.
Nice.
But
Molly Ringwald's in it.
Yeah, she was. That was the big name they had for the movie because she played the actress who was in the original slasher movie, and they brought her back to star in this movie. I mean, But, yeah, and also, funnily enough, one of the actors in a movie was one of my teachers at film school.
No way. Really?
Yeah, because one of the actors who was playing the serial killer, not in the new version, was my teacher in a short filmmaking class.
What's his name?
Simon Bozzell. He was like...
Simon Bozzell. Sounds like a detective.
Yeah. Sounds like an Aussie name.
Sorry.
It's a very Aussie name. And there's a lot of Australian actors in it. And it has really terrible dialogue, and some of the performances aren't good. But, you know, it's silly fun. Like, it is... Like, if you get...
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And, come on. Maybe it's because it's Australian, that's why I enjoy it so much. But I like I said, I think...
Australians know their horror.
I don't think the people in this movie did, but...
I'm sure it's fun. I'm going
to
see.
But like I said, it's very sincere in its approach because you know they're trying to make a really good horror movie, but it just didn't end up that way. But it also has a bit of comedy elements in it as well, which is some dark comedy.
I like that.
And what's some other slasher movies I like? Besides that one, of course. There was another one I rewatched because I wanted to rewatch it in preparation for this podcast. Was Cherry Falls?
Oh my God, Beat! That was going to be my next one. Good call.
Okay,
Brittany Murphy, Jay Moore.
Yeah. We'll talk about this one. This one's definitely a very underrated and kind of forgotten slasher movie, and it's sort of set in this small town of Cherry Falls. Where a serial killer is going around murdering the teens, but then they find out that the common link with these teens is that they happen to all be virgins.
There you go. Which is an opposite of the formula for slasher.
It is. That's why it's kind of funny, like, oh my God, if I'm not a virgin, I'm not going to get killed.
That's right.
I also like the fact that Cherry Falls is set in a place called in the state of West Virginia.
Oh God.
Virginia.
Well said. Have you ever been to West Virginia?
No, I haven't. But I know a lot
of
the horror movies.
It's awful. It's perfect for a horror movie. I'll tell you that.
But It's actually like a pretty solid slasher movie, and it's definitely, you can, when I was sort of watching it, you can definitely tell that they had to cut a lot of stuff out.
Yes.
I think at the time it was like most of the slasher, that sort of post-screen slasher movies weren't really that gory, but this one, the violence in it was you can definitely tell that they were going to go much further and make it much more bloodier and gorier, but you can definitely tell that elements have been, like certain bits were cut out.
Right.
And of course, you know, it's got Brittany Murphy, of course, who sort of plays this, the sort of the final girl in the movie, and also has Michael Bean as her dad, who's the sheriff.
He's awesome in it.
And also has other actors who appear in the movie, like Jesse Bradford, DJ Qualls.
Oh my god, yes, very good. Holy crap.
And what blew my mind about this movie is that this movie was directed by an Australian, and he was the director of Romper Stomper.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, I know. I think he was his third film. Like, he made this after, well, he didn't make it right after Romper Stomper. He made another film between these two, but yeah, this was his US directing debut, and it was a slasher movie.
Wow. Wow. But it is a well-made slasher movie.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. It's entertaining. I would say it's the greatest, but it's pretty solid.
It is good stuff, yeah. That's a fun one. I've seen that a couple times, actually.
Have you seen Cherry Falls, Marcy?
Oh, it's been ages. So I, like, totally don't really remember it that well.
But it also has elements of black humor in it as well. Like,
it's very funny.
It's also, yeah, it is pretty funny. I remember I rented the movie out when it came out on VHS. I remember one of the Craig blurbs on the back of it. It's like, it's Scream meets American Pie.
Kind of is, though. That's a very good tagline.
Actually, I do agree with that. I thought, yeah, that's pretty much just if I describe the movie, it would be that.
It's fun.
Hilarious. I do remember that tagline, funnily enough.
Nice. Very good.
Yeah, so those are some ones I wanted to talk about. Are there any more slasher movies you want to talk about, Mike?
I have just two more, and I probably can't think of any other at this hour. But again, keeping with the holiday-themed slasher, the original Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, yes! That was like one I was trying to think of. I love that movie.
It is so much fun. Not just, I mean, you know what? It's a well-acted, well-made movie, again, which you would not expect because of, I mean, when it came out, there was controversy about it, because, like, oh my god, Christmas and killing people, no! But it's got everything in a slasher movie that you need. Granted, I'm not a big fan of, like, violence towards women, like, sexual violence towards women, so I guess in the beginning, I gotta kind of fast-forward through that one part, even though it serves as the catalyst which drives the true slasher of the movie. But still, in terms of character development for a slasher, it's a good flick, and it's fun. It's nostalgic, at least for me, in terms of the 80s. And it's a really good, well-made, fun slasher movie.
Absolutely.
And, I still haven't seen that movie yet.
Are you serious? Well, beat this Christmas. There you go.
No, I definitely want to check that out, but I also want to check out the remake, which is just simply called Silent Night.
Okay, if I may say, the remake is also very, very good and very fun and perfect for Christmas time.
Cool.
Shockingly. Yeah, oh yeah, totally. Check out the first one, that way, in case there's references in the next one, you know, you'll love them.
I kind of want to watch the first one so I can watch the sequel and see the garbage things.
Oh my god, you've got to. You must. Yes, that is the only good thing about the sequel. Garbage day.
Boom, boom.
It's ridiculous. But it's, again, it's 80s classic cheese that you can't go wrong with.
Awesome.
And I just have one more, and then I'm going to shut up. I know you saw it. I believe it's finally coming to the States. I don't know if it's next month or the month after or whatever. And I'm sure it's not theaters, but All the Boys Love Mandy Lane.
Yes.
God, that is just a good movie, man. A good, fun, again, well-written twist on the slasher genre movie that I was a big fan of.
And the same writer-director, was the one that wrote the script and directed Warm Bodies.
Directed what? Say it again, Mars?
Warm Bodies.
Oh, yes, which I'm still waiting to see, which is going to be, well, I have two kids and a wife, so that's going to take some time. But I'm going to get there. I really want to see that movie.
Well, it's a love story with zombies, so your wife should totally want to watch it because it's romantic.
You know what? I'm going to tell her that. Maybe she'll check it out, yeah. And it's not too violent. It's PG-13, so.
Yeah, it's not overly bad. Like, if you're squeamish or anything, it'll be okay.
Thanks, Mars. I'm going to totally tell her that. She'll watch. I'm going to give her, like, a couple glasses of wine beforehand. After that, though, either she'll fall asleep or watch the movie with me, so we'll be all right.
That works.
Awesome.
That's all I got. Thank you.
Cool. Marcy, any last couple of slasher movies you want to talk
about? I do. I have a couple. I have the remake of Maniac.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. With Frodo.
Yes.
I still have to see that, but I really want to.
It's really good. We saw this last year at the Melbourne International Film Festival at like 11:30 at night. I was like, oh my God, someone's going to fucking kill us when we got out.
That was a very interesting movie to watch with an audience, Marcy. I think a few people walked out.
Yeah, people walked out. We were sitting in front of the crew from Monster Pictures, who I do The Monster's Eye for, and we are releasing Maniac in Australia, and that comes out next month on Blu-ray, DVD, I think it's Blu-ray. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. Cheap plug. But, yeah, this movie is so well done. Like, it does something that, a good remake should be doing. It kind of flips the original around, where the original really is like a statement on New York at the time. This one is like, about the bad side of like Los Angeles type of thing. And it has similar things, like the characters kind of share a lot of things in common from remake to original. But what works, and I think it does really well here, even though it's kind of gimmicky in a way, is that it's from the point of view of the lead character. It's all through his point of view. The only time you really see him is, like, in reflections or there's, like, a dream sequence. And it's done really, really well. Like, it is frightening sort of being in sort of the mindset of the killer, and it's a brutal movie. It's gory. You see scalpings.
Mm. Oh.
It's disgusting. Like, it doesn't hold back.
Wow.
But it's really well made. I really liked it. There's a lot of things to be said about the film. It does have a lot to say. So, that's high on the list. And the last one I'm going to mention, one that turns the genre on its head, Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, yeah, I was just about to have that in my honorable mentions, too. That's a great movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yes. It's so funny. It's so well done.
It is.
It's such a blast to watch. Like, I've seen it a few times, and it's still hilarious. It's still awesome.
Very well put.
The wood chipper scene is probably one of
them. That's amazing. God. That's awesome. That's just, I love it.
Those
love
two are
it,
comedic
it.
Geniuses. I love them both.
Oh, they're amazing.
I want a Tucker Dale versus zombie sequel or something. I don't know. Another sequel absolutely. With those two characters.
Yeah. They need to be brought back. And I don't know if Bede, you were going to mention it, but there's another Australian slasher movie that people really love, and a sequel is coming out in February. So I don't know if you want to talk about that one.
Oh, you mean Wolf Creek?
Yes.
Hello.
And I am Mick Taylor, and I'm going to kill ya.
And that's one of my most anticipated movies for next year, Wolf Creek 2. And I'm excited to see it.
And I can't make any comment on it.
I know. And I hate you.
And I'm not allowed to because I signed an agreement.
I remember, Mars, you said you saw it. Yes.
Shh. It's a secret.
Sorry. Anyway.
I'll just like beep that out.
It's okay.
But Wolf Creek is awesome, and it's definitely, if not the best Aussie horror movie ever made. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that, because I think if you actually went, oh, what's the best Australian horror movie, they'll just automatically say, oh, Wolf Creek.
Dead Calm.
And, well, Dead Calm's
sorry.
But Wolf Creek is just an awesome movie. I could talk about this movie for hours, but, you know, but we're almost finishing up on the podcast, so there's no time for that. But, yeah, just like, it's an awesome, awesome movie. Mm. And I can't wait for the sequel. I need more creepy Nick Taylor action in my life.
I'm with you.
And I'll finish up the podcast with a few other slasher movies. Sort of speaking on about Maniac, Marcy, since that was the remake of, you know, the original Maniac, I want to talk about a film by the same director, Maniac Cop, which was directed by William Lustig. I think that's, I'd probably pronounce his last name wrong. So, and also was written by Larry Cohen, and it's just an awesome little slasher movie about this sort of zombified cop who goes around and randomly murders people. And you got the awesome Tom Atkins and Bruce Campbell.
Nice, nice.
His tail to stop him.
Yep.
And also, what's some other slasher movies I love? I'm just looking at the list. Oh, yeah, there was another sort of underrated little gem one that I really liked called The Tripper. That was
written. I saw that.
David Arquette.
Yeah, it was written and directed by...
Oh, yeah, I have seen that.
That's a great movie.
That's really good. I had to think for a second when you said David Arquette. I was like, yes.
Yeah, because this one, he wrote and directed it. And yes. It has, like, a huge, big cast, because he got so many of his friends to star in it. Like Jamie King, Thomas Jane, Lucas Haas, yeah. Jason Mewes, Balthazar Getty, Paul Rubens.
That's one that's worth rewatching. That's really good. I was so impressed with that.
And even his ex-wife, Courtney Cox, makes a cameo in the movie.
Yes, she does. Very good, Bead.
And, yeah, I remember seeing this years ago, and I thought, oh, sounds really cool, because it's about, like, a Ronald Reagan-obsessed serial killer who goes after Bud's, who goes to, like, this this sort of Woodstock-esque concert to kill a bunch of hippies.
I know! What a fucking brilliant man.
It's the best idea for a movie of
all time. I am so on board with that idea.
What, a Ronald Reagan serial killer killing hippies? Yeah, I want to watch that.
That's like, yeah, fucking awesome. Like, what a brilliant idea.
It is, and it's a lot of fun. Like, I remember watching it, and I think, oh, this is just a lot of fun. And you can definitely tell that David Arquette actually has a love for slasher movies, because, like, it has the tropes, but he does some interesting elements in it. And he knows how to make it fun, and also kind of, and also gory. And I actually want to rewatch this movie right now.
I'm going to do that too, actually. I only saw it once. Good call.
That's a good one. Another one
I'm glad
is...
glad you brought that up, by the way.
The Fun House, which was directed by Toby Hooper.
Yes, that is really fun. That's really fun.
Yeah, like a bunch of kids at a carnival get lost in this sort of this ride, and they get stalked by a serial killer. And it does take some interesting turns within the story, but it's actually pretty well made and actually very creepy. And I think Eli Roth tried to bought the rights to remake it, but I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. But but it's a pretty good movie and definitely one worth checking out. Another one is, I think Marcy's definitely seen this one, is Alone in the Dark. It's directed by Jack Shoulder.
Jack
Pounds.
This is a movie I wouldn't mind actually seeing remade, because it actually has a pretty cool
present. It's got an interesting, like, idea and stuff. I just think, because it's kind of cheap and stuff, like, I don't think things were really, I think they could have come together a bit better. Yeah. That's not to say, like, it's not good. It is actually a really good movie to watch. I think it can be improved upon in the way that, you know, is respectful to it. And it's got a really awesome cast. You've got Jack Palance, Donald Pleasance, Martin Landau, Dwight Schultz, who's, I can't say his name, but he's from the A-Team.
Yeah.
And I want to try to, like, find the money to meet him next month at Armageddon, because he's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it is a solid movie, and it has just it's what I wouldn't mind actually seeing be remade, because you could do a lot with that premise.
Definitely.
I've got two more. Another one is Happy Birthday to Me.
I still haven't seen that.
Marcy, I know I know, because Marcy had it on like your birthday.
Every freaking birthday, I want to fucking watch it, and it never happens.
I won't spoil it, but it's definitely one of the more interesting slasher movies from the early 80s. And it is enjoyable, and it takes some really... It is very strange as well and very bizarre. But what's interesting about this movie, this is the only slasher movie to be directed by an Academy Award-nominated director. Because the same director who made this movie also made The Guns of Navajo, which he was nominated for an Oscar for.
Wow. Well, that goes to show you then. It is a well-made movie, so.
And also, after this, he made a lot of Chuck Norris movies.
Oh, my God.
Because that's fucking awesome.
Chuck Norris / Charles Bronson movies throughout the 80s.
That's the kind of career I want to have if I was a filmmaker.
And also, my last one, and this is a film I watched last year on my horror movie list, is a film that also, like The Burning, it recently came out on a Blu-ray special edition from Scream Factory, and that's The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
The one I have not seen.
Yeah, and what's interesting is this is actually based on a true story, so everything that... I guess the things that happened in this movie did actually happen. And what it's done, it's sort of done almost like a TV show, kind of like a semi kind of documentary type of way. And I'm not going to say it's perfect, but there are some really interesting things in it. And some of the sort of scenes with the killer are actually really intense and really well done. And also he has a bag over his, like his mask is like wearing this bag over his head, which I think could have been the inspiration for Jason's look in Friday the 13th Part 2.
Mm.
Nice.
Interesting. Nice. Yeah, that's one I sort of haven't seen. I know a lot about. Yeah, I need to see it though.
I'm going to watch it. It's getting a remake, but the remake is sort of taking a very different approach to the story, which I, in a way, is kind of interesting, but I'll have to see how it all goes. Mm. And the director of this, previously made The Legend of Boggy Creek.
Oh, my God.
So that's kind of cool. I'm learning a lot of facts tonight, which is pretty funny. Awesome. But yeah, I think that's, and of course, you know, this, you know, the usual suspect, the Friday films, the Nightmare films, Halloween films, and Chucky films, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre films and whatnot. So yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Cool.
Nice. I'm all spent right now.
Yeah, I think that kind of wraps up the podcast.
It does. Wow. It does. We talked about some really cool slasher movies, and hopefully we gave some of our listeners some really cool ideas to watch over October in terms of if they're looking for other slasher movies to watch.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, thank you so much, Mike, for joining us. I know it's getting a bit late there and you've got the kids and stuff. We appreciate it, and we'll get you back on soon, hopefully.
Please.
You're always welcome. Always. It's always a blast. So if people want to like keep up to date with what you're doing, you have a Facebook page. Can you give us the address or the name of it so people can look it up?
Good call. Let me just, I think it's Writer Mike Catalano Writer, but let me make sure.
I think the name of it is Writer Mike Catalano, and you can just put in facebook.com/MikeCatWrites.
You got it.
See, I'm good.
You are a genius, Mars. Thank you so much.
I know. So do Leo. And people, send all your hate mail to Bede. That'll be great. Send all your love and support to me.
Oh,
I sound like such a biatch.
You're beautiful.
Except to me. But anyways.
No, actually, big thanks to Bede, who did me a really big favor this week, came into the city with me to do some stuff. So, yeah, appreciated that a lot.
Yep.
It was awesome.
And, yeah, you can find us at supermarcy.com. You can go to Facebook, like our page, look up Super Podcast, or the address is facebook.com/sm.com/superpodcast. You can follow my Twitter account, which is just full of my ramblings and maybe, like, live wrestling tweets. At twitter.com/supermarcy. You can find Beads at twitter.com/BeadJermaine, or you can look him up under BeadJermaine on Facebook because he likes people adding him. Mine's a bit more private. If you ask nicely, I might add you, but you have to find me first. Wink, wink. Yeah, I don't know if there's any other things
I do have some things I want to talk about, like in terms of like articles and stuff I'm working on.
Go if for that's okay, it. Marcy,
just to quickly wrap up. I hope, like you were talking about your viewing list earlier in the episode, Marcy, I want to talk about mine, which is the 62 and 31 days horror list of mine, which I'll be watching. 62 horror films, 31 of which are old horror films made before 2000, while the other 31 are horror films made after 2000. So I watch two movies a day, and you can check that list out at the website. Look, I can't name all the movies on there because, like, there's 62 movies, and that'll take forever to go through. But I will say that the first day of the list will be I'll be watching the original 1931 Frankenstein.
There you go.
Which I surprisingly still have not seen. So, and also the Jennifer Lawrence horror movie House at the End of the Street, which will be the first two. Yep. Those will be the first two. And as well as also my movie Song of the Week series, we'll be doing a horror themed special over the next couple of weeks during October, where I'll be playing a lot of songs from horror movies.
Cool.
And also, I'm going to do it today, and hopefully it'll be up on Monday. I'll be finally bringing back my bad Tweet-a-thon article series, and I'll be doing it today on Twitter, which I'll be live-tweeting the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. And hopefully that'll be up on Monday, and then I'll do the next one will be a very horror-centric one in which I'll ask the listeners out there to vote which bad horror movie they want me to watch for the article. And I'm all spent, so.
That's hilarious.
Terribly awesome.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
That is our bead.
Yes. But, I hope everyone enjoyed the podcast. And I hope you will have a few more horror-themed podcasts coming up over October.
Yeah. Health for me pending, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. If not, we might just do like one or two commentaries or something that. So,
I mean, it's definitely health pending, but yeah, we'll definitely try to get up some good stuff. So,
yeah.
Let's hope that works out.
Yeah, so I hope everyone enjoyed the episode and have a good night tonight or day, wherever you are.
Yes. Catch you later, guys.
See you, everyone.